There are those who believe that life here began out there, far across the universe, with tribes of humans who may have been the forefathers of the Egyptians, or the Toltecs, or the Mayans. Some believe that there may yet be brothers of man who even now fight to survive somewhere beyond the heavens.
AWA, if you didn't know, and many of our listeners have never been to any cons, it's like the big AMV con, where in one room they're playing AMVs all the time and have AMV creators come down as guests. And
they call it the video art room.
Yeah, and they talk about different AMVs and show a few things or whatever, and all the creators seem to kind of know each other because they all go to this con every year, including the ones from Canada, like
Doki Doki.
And what's the guy?
And Vlad Poner.
Yeah, Vlad Poner. So, yeah, we hung out with Doki Doki. That was cool.
Yeah. And I promised Doki Doki that the next show we did would be a review of all of the AMVs. And
it's a lie. It's not yet.
No. Instead, it's this episode where I simply mention the fact that...
in an upcoming episode, we'll do reviews of the...
But we will do
AWA.
It.
Because the AWA AMV contest was like 20 bazillion times better than Otakon's AMV contest.
This year.
Although... Last year, Otakon's AMV contest was a lot better. And there were a lot of reasons for that, which Doki Doki extolled to us at Otakon. I don't know if we talked about that in the Otakon show.
I think we did a little bit. But even this year, like the AWA videos were very good, but still a little weak. That's kind of why I want to go on at some length about them, and I'll have a show to do that, so I won't do that now. But in any event,
we went to Carl Horn's awesome ass room party. He threw a party in honor of AWA.
Right, so who's Carl Horn?
Who's Carl Horn?
If you're not a listener of Anime World Order,
Carl Horn is an editor at Dark Horse Comics. He's the manga guy. He's the only person at Dark Horse whose sole job it is to work on manga. So he is the face of manga for Dark Horse Comics. And that's significant in that Dark Horse tends to publish more adult titles like Blade of the Immortal. I started in that. I kept wanting to say Samurai X. But Blade of the Immortal has been coming out for a long time. It came out even in leaflet form, which is like a regular comic book form. They were one of the people who published Oh My Goddess back in the day. And that was one of the first manga to be published stateside on a regular basis.
Yep. And Lady Snowblood is theirs?
Lady Snowblood is theirs. I think they do other stuff.
Starving Man?
Yeah. Yes. I think
all the Kazuo Koike titles,
which is why AWA always talks about Carl Horn. And indeed, Anime World Order is the only podcast that Carl Horn listens to. Something he said several times. He doesn't even, and it's starting to be his only source of news. So he's written into them and told them, maybe you should start covering the war in Iraq, because I think I need to know about that. And I'm only listening to you guys as a media source. So Carl Horn always wears a suit. He goes to a lot. I'd seen him at New York Comic Con this year earlier. I went to his panels because I went to all the industry panels at that. But I thought of him as the Dark Horse representative. And then earlier on our show, on one of the Otakon Artist Alley episodes, we read his entire forum post about the whole debate.
Yes.
Which was one of the most intelligent things. That was what really got his name stuck in my head, where I was like, oh, Carl Gustav Horn, some awesome dude. I met someone at Manga Next who knew who he was, because this was like, Carl Horn this, Carl Horn that. And the guy was like, you know CGH? It was some random friend of... Zach and Stephanie's, and I was like, yes, isn't Carl awesome? And this guy was like, yeah, he's like my hero.
Yeah, he's everyone's hero.
So heretofore, up to this point, going to conventions, I hadn't really been to room parties per se. I tried to go to a friend of mine's once after Otakon, but everyone was so exhausted and got busted out right away. I was there. Most of the reason I was interested in room parties was because I'd read several guides to how to throw a successful room party at a convention online, and one of them was written by Jan Scott Fraser. And it was a very detailed account of how to throw a successful con party. I realized I hadn't really been to a con party, so I tried to go to one at last year's Otakon, and it failed.
It wasn't very good.
But in Anime Week in Atlanta, I went to two room parties. One was Carl Horn's party, where he had brilliantly put up a projector projecting a French New Wave film, which is like a black and white...
Very classy.
70s classy French movie on one part of the ceiling. On another part of the ceiling had another projector, a slide projector, projecting slides of classic art that were following a certain theme, but I didn't take enough art history classes to tell you what that theme was. And then he had a custom mixed drink that he had made that had maybe three ingredients and had sort of a flavor like a punch, but he had mixed it into another large container, like an old large water bottle, like maybe a gallon of Poland Spring or something, and was offering that to guests. And he's an awesome guy in that he's an otaku who has learned to speak Japanese and is always, I think he majored in journalism and things like that and learned how to write. And he'll read manga in Japanese, but he's memorized an infinite amount of what is essentially otaku cocktail party chatter. So he'll spout an interesting fact, or if you ask him, say, what's his favorite Miyazaki film, or in a conversation about Miyazaki, he'll say something that you weren't expecting that's still interesting. He's like, actually, Princess Mononoke is my favorite Miyazaki film because I feel it's his most adult work. Or he'll say something like, Satoshi Kon's films, like Perfect Blue, made only 1/100th of the amount of money that, I forget what, Howl's Moving Castle made. Does that mean it's only 1/100th as good of a film? I don't think so. But what occurred to me, so I went to his party at AWA, and then he had a party at Manga Next, and I stopped by at that as well. And what amazed me was between those two parties, the two Dark Horse panels that we went to, and his Evangelion lecture panel, I started hearing the same chatter that he memorized over and over again. Consequently, I decided I want to be more like Carl Horn, so I started training under waterfalls and lifting heavy rocks and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
On the MangaCast, we've worked up a Carl Horn seal of approval icon.
Carl Horn was also assassinated by Daryl Surratt.
Yes. With a clown pistol. And if you don't, I think we talked about this in another episode as well.
Yeah.
But a clown pistol is like a fireworks gun that shoots kind of streamers and a small amount of gunpowder. And Daryl assassinated the Geek Knights crew. Oh, I'm going to ask him if I can play that clip in this show.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because it was really funny. At which point, I will insert it here.
So I actually have a question for Daryl while you're here about, I mean, you've been to the two prime days of Otakon. What do you think of this con? I mean, it's freaking huge.
I don't know. I think something's kind of missing from this whole thing. It's like all the elements are there, sort of. It's like, oh, you look at the list, you see like, oh, well, we've got our art show, and we've got our cosplay, and we've got our AMVs, and we've got our panels, and we've got our dealer's room. And it's like, what is missing? What is the, I don't know, there's something about it that is just not there, the Make It an Anime Con for me. And it's like I went an excessive distance, and I think I can sum it up in about three words. Seek Semper Tyrannus.
Now, the sound you just heard was that of a clown pistol, which is a small explosive device being detonated directly in my face, followed by my death scream. If you ever run into me in the street and blow something up in my face, you will probably hear a similar scream. Now, at that moment, the room went into silence for a second, and then everyone wondered, well, does he have any more of these clown pistols? Scott specifically was wondering this. And then he shot Scott in the face with a clown pistol.
I've got two. That should be enough for all of you. I inadvertently left these in my bag.
The fact,
I'm very glad I wasn't arrested by airport security.
I think you realize how often we've spoken of fucking clown pistols. Ever since you brought them up and we didn't know what they were, and then we Googled for them and you guys show up as the number one link.
It's because clown pistols are not an official term. Whatever. And I just throw them down like I'm 47 and steal off into the night.
Never coming here was worth it.
Always worth it.
So the other room party that was going on was the old guys party. And they had a name for the party and a theme, but they had also followed like the hotel successful con room guide where they had a decoration put up that they could take down easily. They had a cooler full of stuff with a bottle opener tied to it with ribbon, so you could easily find it. It was brilliantly set up. They had two kinds of punch in the middle of the room. One was a red punch, and one was a blue punch, like the Matrix. So if you were a nerd who doesn't drink, which happens to be Gerald and Daryl, then you can drink the... Which one is it? I assume the blue?
I don't know. Why? Isn't it the red pill?
Yeah, I guess
aren't
so.
You,
does that break you back to your normal
I
life?
I think so.
The red pill is the non-alcoholic.
I hope
one.
I'm never offered the choice and get it wrong.
You're like, what were they again? Can you run that by me? I'm really confused still. Can you explain it again?
No.
I guess another salient point of information is that in order to get to AWA in the first place, we mooched off of Gerald from Anime World Order's hotel room. So we were sharing the room with Gerald and Clarissa and Allison and one of their friends, whose name was Matt, who snores like a
wow, does he snore.
Wow, it was amazing. It was like being in a war zone. It was really hard to sleep. Neither I nor Allison ended up marrying Clarissa, after all. It's very disappointing. There were no
thank goodness
lesbian marriages. Whew. We were going to fight to the death over her, but it didn't really work out.
I was nervous.
But it was interesting to finally meet Clarissa, since we'd met Gerald and Daryl at Otakon. Consequently, yeah. Daryl was much more restrained at Anime Week in Atlanta. Maybe it was because he felt more comfortable in his home turf or something. Or this was a convention he'd been to many times, and he had his own Anime Hell panel that he ran that we ended up missing because we went to dinner with the Cartoon Network people. And I feel really bad, because it's like, I missed my friend's panel.
Yeah, and he was really nervous about it, too.
Yeah, he was kind of freaking out before it. But we saw him be genuinely nice to a girl who was like in raver pants and cat ears,
yeah.
And her badge was broken, and she was like, "We're gonna get this fixed." I think she thought he was a member of the staff because he always dresses in like a neat polo shirt and khakis, and so he told her like how to get her badge fixed and didn't give her a hard time at all and didn't make fun of her for only wearing cat ears and raver clothes. But the other thing about those parties that we went to is they were both on like the 14th floor that you couldn't really get into without a hotel key, but someone had taped open a fire escape door so you could get up there. When we got in the elevators to go down, a bunch of kids got on, and I say kids, I mean high schoolers, got on at like one of the lower floors and they were like, "Hey, do you guys know where the party is?" And we're like, "Yeah, it's on the 14th floor." And they were like, "What? You can't get up there?" And we're like, "Sure you can, there's a door that's open." And they were like, "Yeah, whatever." They didn't believe us, and it occurred to me suddenly, even if they went there, that's not really what they mean by party. These kids didn't probably actually want to talk to a bunch of old dudes
who were maybe like, not, but they were also weren't invited.
No, but Carl Horn put up those signs. He had a professional artist draw Daryl Surratt and put it on the flyers for his party, which he posted around, which had the room number written on it.
I guess you're right.
Everyone is technically invited to Carl Horn's
party. I guess so.
And some random people showed up. Who knows? Carl Horn's party at Manga Next was more filled with people who we actually knew. Like, there was the correspondent for Anime News Network, whom I've met at Anime Boston and seen at New York Comic Con, who declined to do a promo for our show at Anime Boston, where I was like, "Hey, will you say I'm from Anime News Network and you're listening to the Ninja Consult podcast?" And he was like, "No, I don't think I can." In kind of a snotty way. But he was much nicer at Manga Next. He seemed like a cool guy. But everyone was kind of sitting around talking to Carl Horn in more of an industry fashion. What's weird is there's this guy, CB, unpronounceable last name, who's this dude who, look, I can go and grab the Manga Next panel.
Fine.
He was one of the guests of honor at Manga Next, which I didn't really realize when I first met him, although I knew he was a guest. I didn't think he was like the guest. But he's worked for Marvel and Tokyopop and a bunch of places, like just about every comics company and manga company. So he's a very jovial, informative, large man. I didn't really know who he was before Manga Next, but when I listened to the Geek Nights coverage of CineCon, they mentioned how they're like, "Some dude, Carl Horn, I don't know who that is." Then they're like, "CB, whatever his name is, that guy's awesome, blah, blah." They knew exactly who he was because they know all about what they refer to as underwear pervert comics, by which we mean American superhero comics. They use that a lot in their show, which I think is a good term, underwear pervert comics.
What? Is a good term?
Yeah.
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 Well, we don't like superhero comics that much.
It's true. You wanted to talk about how... Well, should I mention my assassination story?
Yeah, I was leading into your assassination, but you stopped me.
I screwed up. I didn't catch your hint.
Oh, well.
I didn't get the drift.
Daryl Surratt also assassinated Erin with a clown pistol.
Yeah.
Killing her inner clown forever.
Apparently. What do they call it? It was like a peroxectomy.
Peroectomy.
Where we went to the AWO panel at 10 a.m. on Sunday at Anime Week in Atlanta. And I brought a bag of t-shirts to give away to people. Of Ninja Consultant t-shirts. They're Anime World Order t-shirts. And partway through the panel, Daryl gets up and is like, "All right, let's talk to some people in the audience." And he talked to another person who had a podcast who was sitting like one row up from us. And he seemed kind of rushed, like he was trying to brush this guy off. And then he came back to talk to me. He's like, so you have a podcast, blah,
blah.
That's
when I realized.
That's when I realized I was about to be shot.
To just hook yourself into the vast international conspiracy network of other podcasters. Because really, at this point, the only people listening to podcasts are other podcasters.
Yeah, there really isn't.
Let's prove that. Do we have any other podcasters here in the audience now? Oh, look. There's an entire row full of people. I'm going to get up and walk this way. And we'll introduce ourselves to these other fine gentlemen. That constitutes a significant portion of people in the room. All right, we'll start with you. Just scream. No, no, no. I'm not going to walk up to you. Yeah.
Right next.
I know. Redheaded stepchild. Who are you?
I'm Aaron, and this is Noah, and we're the Ninja Consultants. But I'm wearing a shirt for the Weekly Anime Review podcast, which is also really good. We've met there.
It's a pretty warped show.
Is it? No, it's really clean.
No, it's it abbreviates to warp.
Oh, I see.
You don't get it. You know what else is a joke? I don't know.
Go on.
No. Your show, what's it about?
Oh, it's about anime.
It's about same one thing as episode of Dragon Ball Z. All we talk about is the same episode week after week.
Although she brings up a good point. She's got a shirt for the Weekly Anime Review podcast. He's got a shirt for their show. We have no shirt.
I bring shirts to give away.
You can't, yeah. There are shirts to throw at the audience. I don't know. Do they have your name on them?
No, they have Ninja Consultants.
They only have Ninja Consultants on. How will people know that it's a podcast? Listen, I don't know about you, but I have something with your name on it. A clown pistol with your name on it.
And at that moment, I was giving away Ninja Consultant t-shirts to other people in the audience, including one couple who was like, hey, my girlfriend listens to your show. And so I gave her a t-shirt. And some other random people were like, oh, I'll take one. And meanwhile, on the other side was this guy, Snacks, who's no longer called Snacks. Who's like a
Joey Snack Pants?
No. That's different. Who's a 4chan guy. So if you're a 4chan cultist who goes to Otakon, then you'll know who Snacks is. At that point, Daryl Strat shot me. Did you listen to it yet?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
But I ran because I was there when he assassinated the Geek Knights crew.
Yeah.
And he very calmly shot one of them. And the other one didn't run. And Daryl lured him into a false sense of security and then shot him. So I ran away, throwing Aaron bodily into the path of the bullet. Or streamer, as the
but you can hear at the end of the clip, you can hear Noah shouting from the back of the room, "You're not gonna get me like you got Kiki."
See, it says Ninja Consultant on it. Ninja Aaron is fat of heart. You can have that.
Daryl, why don't you tell me about this so I can record this on video?
I'm sorry, it just happened.
You are not gonna lull me into a false sense of security when you did Geek Knights. You killed my partner, but I'm gonna.
I'm sorry, it had her name on it. What could I do?
So, that's our show in a nutshell.
That's what our show is about, in a nutshell, is going up to people and shooting them with fun trick confetti noisemakers and then laughing at it.
But you're so far from the mic at that point.
That's fine.
I screamed like a girl, but I think they cut that out. It might have peaked the levels or whatever. But also, because I was handing out t-shirts, I held up the t-shirts in front of the gun. I blocked the shot with the t-shirts in my hand, and it kind of grazed one of my fingers, but I came out pretty much unscathed. Daryl gave me the gun to keep. Written on it is my name, and underneath it says, for being fat of heart, or heavy of heart?
Fat of heart.
And I've tried to look this up on the internet. I've only come across some poetry by a woman who's a poet in the 1920s, and also a bunch of biblical things. Who knows? I asked Daryl what it meant. He said he didn't know. It could just be an inside joke that only Daryl gets. I asked him point blank several times what it meant, and he would not tell me.
Of course not. That would be telling.
Right. And then he made up a bunch of other excuses afterwards about why he shot me, none of which really makes sense.
Right. And I believe you have said, well, you didn't say, but I said on your behalf that you regret that you have but one life to give Daryl Surratt.
Yeah, I agree with that statement. I was actually kind of flattered because the only other person he'd shot at that con was Carl Horn because he had a gun with Carl Horn's name written on it. It's clearly Daryl's handwriting. He keeps trying to say, I didn't write it on the gun. I had to shoot you because that's what was written there. It's pretty obvious to me that that's, in fact, his own handwriting. So if you only listen to one podcast, you shouldn't only listen to our podcast. You also have to listen to Anime Week in Atlanta and several other podcasts. So when we
Anime World Order.
When we talk about other podcasters, you understand what we're talking about. Like when we talk about Dave and Joel, we're talking about Fast Karate for the Gentlemen.
Yeah.
They only have like 40 listeners. Come on.
Jeez.
Some of our 350 listeners need to go over there and listen to their show. It's at daveandjoel.com. It's really funny. They actually come out every week, unlike us. They talk about video games. We don't talk about video games. We know a lot of you play video games, and you ask us about
them. What little we talked about them, we got mail saying specifically, do not talk about video games. It's like listening to my mom talk about them.
Oh, it's like listening to my mom talk about driving a sports car or something.
Yeah.
Oh, my grandma driving a Ferrari.
Yeah.
That was the metaphor. Yeah. I was like, ouch.
Yeah.
Although, also true.
Message received.
Yeah, you got the idea. So you said once during the con, we went to many panels that were super cool with really old guys talking about really old anime. One thing you said at one of those panels, not on the panel, but just to me in the audience, was this used to be called Dave Merrill's Con.
Oh, yeah, Dave Merrill.
Can you talk about Dave Merrill?
I can talk about Dave Merrill very inaccurately.
Was he on those panels that we went to?
Well, no, he was on the Geezer panel.
So who is Dave Merrill?
Well, Dave Merrill is an anime fan going way back, and I can't give his entire bio. I know him because 10, 15 years ago, we would sort of travel in the same circles, but I believe Anime Weekend Atlanta was started by him, and he was a giant hub on the East Coast for anime and fan subbing and stuff like that.
I think he was the concher for many years, but he used to be called Dave Merrill's Con.
Yeah.
When it was smaller?
Well, yes, it was smaller 10 years ago.
But you never really met him.
No, I met him.
Oh, you did meet him?
Yeah.
Oh. So you go way back?
Yeah.
Do you think he remembers who you are?
He might. I mean, I would have met him at Akon, like Akon 5 or Akon 7.
So you wanted to talk about the awesomeness of AWA.
Yeah, well, we have been, I think. So you can cross that off the list.
But you said it reminded you of the old days.
Yeah, it reminded me of the old days. It was an extraordinarily well-run convention. The panels were all very interesting and actually on topic. And it was put on by people who have done this for, I guess, only 12 years, but it certainly seemed like a lot longer than that. And we were, because we were traveling with interesting and important people, it reminded me of being back in the day and kind of with the Anime Insiders, where we were always, they would always, you know, sneak us into things where we weren't supposed to be there, and we were always able to talk to the guests and hang out with them and stuff like that. It's been a while since I got the red carpet treatment, but I certainly felt that way at AWA.
That you were treated like a dignitary?
Yes, I might say that. I might say I was treated like a dignitary.
I heard from one of Val's friends in Artist Alley at Manga Next that although I had an awesome time at AWA, people in Artist Alley didn't necessarily make a lot of money, that it was kind of a dry thing. Oh, and Patrick D, the Anime Boston guy, was there. They didn't sell too many t-shirts. They were selling their Conhor t-shirts, and we barely hung out with them at all, because before I left for the con, I didn't do important things like get people's cell phone numbers so I could meet up with them somehow. I wanted to meet Daryl's friend Animiko, and it didn't really work out. I talked to her on the phone while she was drunk.
What?
At the party, at Carl Horn's party. She called Daryl as a backup ride for someone. She didn't know anyone else who had driven to the con, but she was already at her cosplay hot tub party, which was a closed party, but she was already wasted, so she was really embarrassed. She's like, I really wanted to meet you. I'm sorry I have to talk on the phone with you drunk. And we just kept missing each other. Like, I went to the Anime Hell thing. She missed the Anime Hell thing because she was at some cosplay thing, and then she went and watched the fan parodies in the same room only moments later.
Huh.
Stuff like that. So we never got to meet her. And we met Daryl's bizarre, I like to call them surrealist friends, although they're not technically surrealist, who were cosplaying as their own custom characters, which for me, that's definitely the worst kind of cosplayer. Someone who makes an original character and then cosplays.
No one is going to recognize.
Right. So on Saturday, they were dressed as, like one of them dressed as a child molester with a hairnet and greased back his hair. And the next day, they were their original characters from their LARP, which again, that's like the nerdiest of the nerds. And I'm like, wow, that's like the worst kind of... Daryl digs a lot on cosplayers, but he also pointed out that for him, worst means best. So, and that was definitely these guys' philosophy, where they were cosplaying as the worst possible thing because they also felt that that was the best possible
thing. And as you heard on the voicemail, we went to eat at this place called Varsity. I thought Varsity sounded kind of classy.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a sit-down restaurant.
It was not.
No, it was like a historical fast food restaurant. Like, it had been there since the 40s.
Yeah.
And it had that kind of 40s, early 50s thing going on.
Apparently their shtick was that whoever was behind the counter would say, what'll you have? What'll you have?
And they kept doing that.
And the answer is, I'll have my way the hell out of here.
Because everything else is fried.
Greasy and disgusting. I don't even remember what I ate.
Everything was
onion
rings.
I immediately regretted it.
Daryl claimed that he took us there because that was right at the same highway exit as Cartoon Network Studios. So they have this kind of drink that's like a frozen orange soda or something. Not really soda. But somewhere between a shake and a soda, there's this kind of orange concoction that they sell. I think they have a chocolate one too, but he claims that people who work at William Street probably get their creative ideas from drinking this horrible orange stuff. And I wouldn't really put that past him.
Maybe so, but let me tell you then, not worth it.
I think Daryl's kind of a cheapskate when it comes to food, because when we went to that bar that was overpriced in Baltimore, he just complained nonstop from the moment we sat down to the end of the meal about how overpriced it was.
I do get the distinct impression that he goes towards those eating establishments that fit in with the semiotics of despair, right?
Yeah, like the place because it's the worst place you can eat at, and he thinks it's the best.
Yeah.
Just like, MD Geist is the worst anime to watch, and therefore also the best.
That's not a good philosophy.
Did I tell you, that one thing? Okay, so at Otakon we watched the end of The Belladonna of Sadness, the rare Tezuka porn movie, right? Gerald was visibly shaken.
Right.
So, it's a really hard movie to get a hold of. You know who got a hold of it? Someone mailed it to that, and like it's on a DVD with like two other rare Tezuka films. Someone gave it to Otaku Generation as a random gift.
Yeah, because hey.
Because they never heard of it at all.
They need some culture.
I guess. But now you can find it fansubbed, so I just finished downloading the fansub of it. But
Really?
You know what fans randomly sent AWO? MD Geist. Because they reviewed it on their show and saying how bad it was, so clearly.
Yes, so clearly they need another copy.
Obviously. They want to own that. They want a piece of that action.
Uh-huh.